Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 7th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Boris Johnson survives as UK Prime Minister, but the question is, for how long?
Russia bans dozens, including Janet Yellen and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink.
Key primaries today in seven states, including California and New Jersey.
And looks like buyer's remorse won't get Elon Musk out of his Twitter acquisition.
New York Mayor Eric Adams reacts to new gun laws across the state. Plus, the U.S. warns North Korea of a strong punishment if it conducts a nuclear test. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets won in San Diego. Colorado has reached the Stanley Cup final. The Rangers play game four at Tampa Bay tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com.
And U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 18 points. Dow futures down 138, and NASDAQ futures down 68. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32. Yield 3.01%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.71%. Nathan.
All right, thanks, Karen. We'll have more on the markets in just a minute. First, we want to bring you the latest on the future of Boris Johnson. The U.K. Prime Minister has managed to cling to power. Let's go to London and get the very latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A win for Boris Johnson. In a vote among lawmakers in his own Conservative Party, the UK Prime Minister has secured the numbers to remain as leader. But more than 40% of his colleagues indicated they had no confidence in his leadership. That was a worse result than that suffered by his predecessor, Theresa May. Under official party rules, he cannot now be challenged again for another 12 months. But rules can be changed, and many expect leadership questions to continue. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Now the latest on the war. Russia has banned dozens of U.S. officials from entering the country. We get details from Bloomberg's Amy Morris in our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and BlackRock's Larry Fink are among the 61 U.S. officials and executives indefinitely banned by Russia, retaliation for what it called constantly expanding sanctions against its citizens. This as Ukraine is in talks with the United Nations to craft a deal between Turkey and Moscow to restart shipments of grain from ports blocked by Russia. Meanwhile, shortly after the UK joined the US in pledging to send longer-range missiles to Ukraine, Russia's President Putin threatened to strike new targets if those weapons are delivered. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Turning to U.S. politics, this is a primary election Super Tuesday. Seven states led by California and New Jersey are heading to the polls for the busiest day of voting before the general election in November. Claremont McKenna College political scientist Jack Pitney has more on a major theme playing out in California.
Crime and homelessness. If you talk to anybody who's recently visited Los Angeles, they'll be shocked at the homeless encampments all over the city. It's a huge humanitarian problem and one that the city government has not been able to manage very effectively.
Claremont McKenna's Jack Pitney says it's affecting the Democratic race for Los Angeles mayor, pitting Congresswoman Karen Bass against tough-on-crime billionaire Rick Caruso. It is also fueling the race for attorney general in California. Two Republicans and a Republican-turned-independent are running to unseat Democratic incumbent Rob Bonta. As for congressional races, Republican David Valadao is facing a tough primary challenge. Valadao was one of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach former President Donald Trump last year.
Well, in New Jersey, Nathan, Republican contenders are hoping to crack the state's blue wall in today's primary, and Bloomberg's Michael Barr has the latest.
Today's primary has a field of 35 GOP candidates, many aligned with former President Trump. However, the governor's seat and the legislature are controlled by Democrats, and the party holds 10 of the 12 congressional seats. One race to keep an eye on is New Jersey's 3rd District. Gym owner Ian Smith, who refused an order to close his business during the pandemic, is among three Republicans running against Democrat Andy Kim. The 3rd District is a politically divided area that voted for Trump by a narrow margin in the 2020 election. In New York, Michael Barr, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. In corporate news, deal or no deal? Looks like Elon Musk's buyer's remorse won't get him out of his acquisition of Twitter. Let's get more on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Elon Musk is reviving his argument that Twitter has a serious bot problem, and he's threatening to walk away from the deal if the social media giant does not do more to prove that its users are real people. But Bloomberg sources say behind the scenes, the deal is proceeding. Twitter thinks it's in the best interest of all shareholders and wants to close the transaction. And it's possible that Twitter could try to sue Musk to complete the deal if he tries to walk away. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, Apple out with new software and services at its Worldwide Developers Conference. Fresh features include an updated iPhone lock screen, multitasking for the iPad, and a pay later service that bring Apples into the finance industry. We discussed the move with Creative Strategies President Carolina Milanesi from the event in California.
I think the core of it is that it's going to be so much easier for people that use Apple Pay to just use that as a default versus using the plethora of other options that you have in the market. It's about integration. It's about taking away every little bit of friction that you have in the experience.
Creative Strategies President Carolina Milanesi expects Apple's new Pay Later features to be helpful for both small businesses and consumers.
Turning to the economy, Karen, J.P. Morgan Chase chief economist Bruce Kasman says there is little chance a recession is imminent.
I think what we're going to see is growth continue to be on the softer side, but growth continue to show resilience. We don't see a near-term recession. We see a global economy which actually does okay in the second half of the year with the U.S. slowing and the rest of the world doing somewhat better.
J.P. Morgan Chase chief economist Bruce Kasman's comments differ from those of his boss Jamie Dimon. Last week, Dimon said investors should be ready for an economic hurricane as tighter monetary policy, inflation, and Russia's invasion of Ukraine pose ongoing risks.
And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon Pershing's Inside Conference, back in person June 15th through the 17th at the Gaylord Resort in Grapevine, Texas. Don't miss it. Register now at inside.bnymellon.com. Futures are moving lower this morning. S&P futures down about 19 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 63 degrees in Central Park and still dealing with an accident on southbound Harlem River Drive at the George Washington Bridge. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr is back with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed new gun reform legislation into law 3 weeks after 10 people were killed in a mass shooting at a Buffalo supermarket by a self-proclaimed white supremacist. The bills will include banning anyone under the age of 21 from buying or possessing a semi-automatic rifle, as well as expanding current red flag laws.
It just keeps happening. Shots ring out, flags come down, and nothing ever changes, except here in New York.
During the signing in Buffalo, Governor Hochul says New York legislators made the decision to be leaders when it comes to gun reform rather than followers waiting on Washington. New York Mayor Eric Adams praised the new gun laws in the state. Adams says, though, that more needs to be done to properly prosecute the criminals who commit the crimes because, he says, criminals know they won't face proper consequences.
No one takes criminal justice seriously anymore. These bad guys no longer take them seriously. They believe our criminal justice system is a laughing stock.
Mayor Adams also says they've taken 3,000 guns off the streets. A bipartisan group of lawmakers in Congress is trying to find common ground to pass new gun control legislation. Democratic negotiators say a deal could be completed this week. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut.
Parents are scared. Kids are scared that they need progress. They need us to show that we care about what kids are going through. And I'm hopeful that we'll get a deal.
Senator Murphy says the proposals include enhanced background checks. The former top leader of the far-right Proud Boys extremist group and other members have been charged with seditious conspiracy for what federal prosecutors say was a coordinated attack on the U.S. Capitol. The U.S. warned North Korea of a strong punishment if it conducts a nuclear test.
The United Nations watchdog agency says signs indicate Pyongyang could soon set off its first atomic device since 2017. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, the Mets have the best record in the National League. They just split a four-game series with the Dodgers, who have the NL's second-best mark, and the Mets are now in San Diego, and the Padres are the owners of the third-best record. The Mets took the series opener 11-5, three runs in the first inning, four in the ninth. Eduardo Escobar, a big night, four hits, including a home run. He drove in six. Carlos Carrasco struck out 10, improved to 7-1. Yankees go for their Major League leading 40th win tonight at Minnesota. They'll face a couple of ex-Yanks, Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela. Rangers now up 2-1. Game four at Tampa Bay tonight. We know who the winner of that series will play for the Stanley Cup.
Helm back from the car, lets it go, tipped on, rebound, score! It's Arturi Lekkinen! And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here because this party is over!
AKSE in Denver had the call. The Avs 6-5 overtime win at Edmonton that capped a four-game sweep. It's the first time Colorado has reached the Stanley Cup final since winning the Cup in 2001. The Bruins fired their coach, Bruce Cassidy. He got them to the playoffs six straight years. Phil Mickelson has not been playing golf, says he needed time off, and Mickelson made official he is going to play the new Saudi-backed LIV Tour that starts next month in London. Mickelson said he's hopeful he can still also play PGA Tour events. He told Sports Illustrated his gambling has been reckless and embarrassing, that he's been in therapy. It was reported he once had $40 million in gambling losses. Greg Norman runs that LIV Tour, says Tiger Woods was offered a nine-figure amount to play, but he said no. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are down 18 points. Dow futures down 138. NASDAQ futures down 72 points. Equity futures adding to their declines this morning. We'll get insights on this market coming up next with Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab. Stay with us for that. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping along with U.S. stock index futures as central banks set on tightening policy fan growth fears. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 23 points, Dow futures down 174, and NASDAQ futures are down 84. The DAX in Germany is down about 1%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 3.01%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.71%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 23 cents at $118.27 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5 at $18.48.70 an ounce. The euro 1.0679 against the dollar. British pound 1.2514. And the yen's at 132.69. And look at Bitcoin this morning, down almost 6%. At $29,570. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. South Korea and U.S. militaries flew 20 fighter jets over waters off South Korea's western coast today in a show of force, as a senior U.S. official warned of a forceful response if North Korea goes ahead with its first nuclear test explosion since 2017. Age limits and red flag laws are being discussed in Washington as a bipartisan group of senators looks for ways to curb the outbreak of gun violence in the nation. Strengthening background checks also on the table. In the NHL playoffs, the Avalanche beat the Oilers to advance to the Stanley Cup final. Colorado will either face the Rangers or the Lightning, who play game four tonight. In baseball, the Mets and Red Sox won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're very pleased to be joined this morning by Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab, as we look to make sense of this market. Liz, good morning. We started this week with some modest gains, but now we're looking to give those back and then some. It seems like the debate over whether central banks can pull off tighter policy without triggering a recession is back in play. What's your view on where things stand now?
Well, I think it was in play all along. We had a pretty brutal 7-week span of time, and to see a bit of a counter trend or relief rally is to be expected. You had gotten to very oversold conditions. Sentiment had gotten washed out, at least attitudinal measures of sentiment. And I think that that established a base for the kind of rally that we saw. I don't think it was driven by some assumption that either the Fed would be able to take their foot off the brake or we were in a Goldilocks economic scenario. That's just the nature of rallies in bear markets. But we're still now facing $1 trillion over the next year of runoff on the balance sheet. And I think the digestion of the absence of that liquidity is sort of, you know, back in front of mind.
What do you think the impact is going to be as that removal of the punch bowl, I guess you could say, starts to play out here? How's that going to affect investors going forward?
I think this change in the liquidity environment is not a purely a prospective thing. It is as it relates to the balance sheet. But if you look at broad measures of money growth, even though still positive in year-over-year terms, well down relative to where we were certainly in 2020. And I think that's been really the story of the at least phase one of the bear market, I think, was the market reflecting this change in the liquidity environment, rising interest rates, 40-year high in inflation, all the things we live, eat, and breathe every day. And I think phase two was a hit to the economy, which was certainly reflected in Q1 with a negative GDP print. And I think the next phase may be the market digesting what is likely to be a deteriorating profit outlook. And that really might be the first time, really, since the pandemic erupted, that at least when we were coming out, you had that huge surge in earnings off the lockdown lows. I think we may now, for the first time this quarter, be facing estimates and a bar that is set a little bit too high. So I think that next phase is yet to come. But this changed liquidity environment really started last year when we saw that significant shift in money supply, in courtesy of both the fiscal side and now the monetary side.
Are you starting to see evidence at this point that corporate earnings expectations are beginning to deteriorate now?
Yeah. So if you go back the last 6 quarters or so, we had a pretty consistent trend of estimates when they were first printed being on the lower side and then getting raised. So if you look at the 3-month span of time, the final 3 months of estimates for each quarter, for the most part, those had moved higher. But for the second quarter, that has actually been coming down. And longer term estimates out 2 to 3 years have rolled over as well. And I think this coming quarter that we're reporting, second quarter, of course, it won't start until July, may be the first real signal of a change in the profit margins landscape. They've been surprisingly resilient, albeit down from the peak of last year, but you're really stacking up the companies that are talking about that margin pressure because of input costs, obviously inclusive of labor, but also now weaker demand.
We only have about a minute left here, Liz Ann, but I want to get your take on this debate playing out between J.P. Morgan's CEO, Jamie Dimon, and his chief economist over at J.P. Morgan about whether an economic hurricane is coming. Bruce Kasman, the chief economist, says he doesn't see a recession imminent. What's your view on it?
So I think anytime you have a Fed shift to tightening mode, if you just go back in the history of modern day Fed, last 13 rate hike cycles, you've had 10 recessions, 3 soft landings. So I think just history suggests the needle points a little more toward recession, especially when you have a Fed that's trying to combat a 40-year high in inflation. And as I mentioned, already weak growth in the first quarter. So I think a recession is probably more likely. Soft landing is possible, but I think the supply side of the economy has to do some of the work for the Fed. So continued loosening up on the labor market side, as well as supply shortages. I think that would be the path. But we're in a storm. Whether hurricane is a little too bombastic, you know, time will tell.
Thanks, as always, Liz Ann. Great to get your thoughts this morning. Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab. Right now, S&P futures are lower by 28 points, a drop of 0.7% there. Dow futures down 195. NASDAQ futures leading the declines, down 112 points for a drop of 0.9%. The 10-year Treasury right now up 6/32 for a yield of 3.01%. Yield on the 2-year 2.71%, and NYMEX crude is lower by 0.2% or 19 cents, $118.31 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly to mostly sunny, upper 70s today. Showers and storms likely tomorrow with a high near 80. Those showers and storms will end during the morning Thursday. Currently, 63 degrees in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers Simple IBKR Global Trader App. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, the latest on the future of Boris Johnson. The U.K. Prime Minister has managed to cling to power, surviving a confidence vote last night.
I'm grateful to colleagues. I'm grateful for the support they've given me.
Boris Johnson's leadership was uncertain due to scandals and political challenges. The so-called pandemic Partygate events in Downing Street angered citizens, along with a cost-of-living crisis and tax increase. After the result, Johnson said it was time to get back to helping people in the UK.
We have a conclusion to something that's been dragging on for far too long, and we have the ability now to unite, deliver, and get on with the people's priorities, and that is what we're going to do.
Boris Johnson received 211 votes in a confidence motion and 148 against him.
All right, let's turn to the war in Ukraine now, Karen. Russia has banned dozens of U.S. officials from entering the country while Ukraine's looking for ways to restart grain exports from ports that have been blocked by Russia's military. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink are among those now banned from Russia.
Well, back in the U.S., Nathan, we're watching primary races in New Jersey and California today. Crime is the focus in the Los Angeles mayoral race, as well as San Francisco's district attorney recall election. And there are some tight House races in New Jersey. There are also primaries today in five other states.
In corporate news, Karen, looks like Elon Musk's buyer's remorse isn't going to get him out of his deal to buy Twitter. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Elon Musk is reviving his argument that Twitter has a serious bot problem, and he's threatening to walk away from the deal if the social media giant does not do more to prove that its users are real people. But Bloomberg sources say behind the scenes, the deal is proceeding, and it's possible that Twitter could try to sue Musk to complete the deal if he tries to walk away. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures is down 22 points this morning. Dow futures down 152. NASDAQ futures down 92. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 3.01%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.71%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 35 cents at $118.13 a barrel. And that's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, 64 degrees in Central Park. Big problems on the Brooklyn-bound upper level of the Verrazano Bridge. Couple lanes taken out with an accident. We'll get you the details shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed new gun reform legislation into law 3 weeks after 10 people were killed in a mass shooting at a Buffalo supermarket by a self-proclaimed white supremacist. The bills will include banning anyone under the age of 21 from buying or possessing a semi-automatic rifle, as well as expanding current red flag laws to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people.
No 18-year-old can walk in on their birthday and walk out with an AR-15. Those days are over. Those days are over. You hear that? Those days are over.
Governor Hochul. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who praised the state's new gun law, says his city has seen a rash of gun violence, but that police have been working to find those responsible. But Adams says that more needs to be done to properly prosecute the criminals who commit the crimes.
If we do the work to get it to the grand jury, to get that indictment, to make the arrest, then the other team must do their part. The courts have to prosecute.
Mayor Adams says so far they've taken about 3,000 guns off the streets. Age limits and red flag laws being discussed in Washington as a bipartisan group of senators looks for ways to curb the outbreak of gun violence in the nation. Democratic Representative Chris Murphy of Connecticut.
My goal is to reach an agreement by the end of the week. We've got more Republicans and Democrats sitting together than ever before since Sandy Hook. What we're talking about is substantial. It will save lives.
Representative Murphy says strengthening background checks is also on the table. The U.S. warned North Korea of a strong punishment if it conducts a nuclear test. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman said in Seoul in today's meeting with her South Korean counterpart.
Any nuclear test would be in complete violation of U.N. Security Council resolutions. There would be a swift and forceful response to such a test.
Deputy Secretary of State Sherman, along with a UN watchdog group, says Pyongyang could soon set off its first atomic device since 2017. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower is back with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Mets' third straight win out west after two in L.A. They won in San Diego 11-5 as Eduardo Escobar had a two-run single, two-run triple, and a two-run homer. Carlos Carrasco, 10 strikeouts in seven innings. He's now 7-1, and the Mets at 38-19 have won two-thirds of their games. The Yankees have won their last six. Play tonight at Minnesota, battle of AL division leaders. The Colorado Avalanche will play for the Stanley Cup. They have been dominant in the West. 12 wins, only two losses. The Avs finished a sweep of Edmonton, winning a wild game four, 6-5 on a goal, a minute 19 into overtime. The Avs scored four times in the third period. This will be their first cup final since they won the cup in 2001. They will play either the Rangers or the Lightning. Tampa Bay just won game three, cutting the Ranger lead to 2-1. And yesterday, Rangers coach Gerard Gallant is looking ahead to tonight's game four.
You got to get ready for one game at a time, as I always say. And, you know, tomorrow's a huge game for us. We got to compete and we got to battle. We got to play a little grittier than we did last game. But there was a lot of good things. And, you know, keep playing our game, keep working hard. And, like I said, it's 2-2 or it's 3-1, so we'll see where it goes.
And the Rangers win on the road. In the playoffs, they're 8-1 at home, but they're just 2-6 away from the Garden. Super Bowl champion L.A. Rams have locked up their star on defense, a reworked deal with Aaron Donald, where he's guaranteed $95 million over the next 3 years. That's the most for any non-quarterback. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market on this risk-off Tuesday. We're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. You know, Kriti, we've been talking a lot this morning about the buyout drama between Elon Musk and Twitter, but that's not the only M&A story going on this morning.
It's not the only M&A story. Who thought things could go perhaps swimmingly outside of the in the M&A space outside of Twitter? There are other companies out there that could be bought. And, of course, that brings me to our first stock mover this morning. That, of course, is Kohl's. KSS is your ticker. Up 12%. The company holding exclusive talks with Franchise Group regarding a deal that would value the retail chain at, get this, $8 billion. They're going through an exclusivity period to discuss Franchise's group offer to buy Kohl's for $60 a share. Now, I'm glad that you mentioned the Twitter and Tesla deal, Nathan, yeah, because one of the big issues with that deal is, when it comes to an investing story and the stock price story, is the deal premium that is so far away from the offer price of $54.20 from Elon Musk. And Twitter shares just haven't even hit that, even when Elon Musk was far more driven to buy this deal or to buy this company and to go through with the deal. That deal premium has since widened and widened. I think we're looking at a 38 handle on Twitter shares. It's interesting to look at Kohl's shares as well, because KSS is at $47.20, at least in the pre-market here, and that's after a 12% gain. So it'll be interesting to see whether these shares, and remember, this is a very normal thing for people to do in an M&A deal, find that risk arbitrage and get it closer and closer and closer to that offer price. So keep an eye on where the shares are, not just how much they're moving, because the closer you see those shares get to $60 a share, the more believability there is in the market that this deal is actually going to go through.
Yeah, another really interesting stock on your list, Creedy. Analysts are giving Peloton another look.
It's all about management. You know, one of the big pieces of career advice I got, Nathan, was make sure you have a very good manager. I'm very lucky to have a very good manager. But I think it's the
same. Are we all.
kissing up to the management, are we? First thing in the morning. But it's the same dynamic when it goes to Peloton shares here. PTON is your ticker. It's up about 0.6%. This comes after the former vice president of Amazon Web Services, Liz, and I'm going to butcher this name, but Coddington-Tonis, I want to say, is, quote, well-positioned to help Peloton in its next stage of growing subscribers. At least that's according to Citi. This is after the exercise machine maker appointed Coddington the CFO of Peloton. So they're saying, you know, we believe in her, we think that she can help, and of course we know Peloton could use the help given the decline in sales.
Yeah, certainly. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Creedy Gupta taking a look at some of the movers in the pre-market and taking a look at stocks as a whole ahead of this Tuesday morning open. They're moving lower with S&P futures now down 19 points, Dow futures down 138, NASDAQ futures down 83 points, and the 10-year Treasury right now up 6/32 for a yield of 3.01%, yield on the 2-year 2.71%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, upper 70s today, showers and storms tomorrow with a high near 80 degrees. Those storms will end during Thursday morning. It'll stay near 80, though. Currently 64 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Informatica. And the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com. European stocks are falling this morning along with U.S. stock index futures as central banks set on tightening policy fan growth fears. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures are down 20 points. Dow futures down 145. And NASDAQ futures down 88. The DAX in Germany's down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 3.01%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.71%. NYMEX crude oil is little change now, down 0.1%, down 10 cents at $118.39 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9 at $18.52.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.0680 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2514, and the yen, 132.71. And we're watching Bitcoin down 5.8% at $29,600. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A bipartisan group of senators says new nationwide gun legislation could come by the end of the week. It would likely center around a proposal that includes enhanced background checks. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson survived a no-confidence vote, securing enough support from his Conservative Party to remain in office. Johnson faced revelations that he held parties that flouted the COVID-19 restrictions. In the NHL playoffs, the Avalanche beat the Oilers to advance to the Stanley Cup Final. Colorado will face the Rangers or the Lightning, who play Game 4 tonight. In baseball, the Mets and Red Sox won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, it is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The Treasury Department says $583 million in funding will flow to broadband projects to connect more than 200,000 homes and businesses in Virginia, West Virginia, Louisiana, and New Hampshire. The funds are from the $10 billion portion of the American Rescue Plan. Another $65 billion comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Hong Kong will not tighten coronavirus restrictions before the city's July 1st handover anniversary. That's according to Chief Executive Carrie Lam. There's been speculation that China's President Xi Jinping might attend the celebrations. Hong Kong's COVID cases have been rising since the city began rolling back social distancing curbs. And autonomous driving technologies are becoming more common in China as self-driving developers look to deploy a range of systems in their vehicles. Bloomberg NEF expects the share of sales of passenger vehicles with level 2 automation in China to jump from 35% in 2020 to 90% in 2030. Level 2 cars are partially autonomous, but the driver still controls the vehicle. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include California and New Jersey leading a busy primary election day from coast to coast. Republican John Cornyn drawing a line on a gun compromise coming out of Senate negotiations. And the January 6th committee in the House facing a high bar as hearings get set for prime time. Let's bring back Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick for a look at more on all these stories. Jack, it is a very busy primary day. 7 states heading to the polls. What races should we be keeping an eye on?
Oh, there are a ton of interesting ones. I think one of the ones I'm most interested in California is probably David Valadao, one of only 6 Republicans in the House to vote to impeach Trump. He does face a couple different Republican challengers in his primary. But interestingly enough, there hasn't been a really vocal push from the former president to take on Valadao. This is a district that really leans toward Democrats, but this moderate Republican has managed to win there. So to see if he can thread the needle and manage to win the primary and then also win in the general in a tough environment, obviously a better environment for Republicans this year. That's one of the, certainly one of the compelling ones coming up today.
And speaking of Republican challenges, we've got a lot of Republicans running in races in New Jersey following an election last year where Democrats kind of barely squeaked by.
Yeah, there are a couple different districts where Democrats in New Jersey have won in tough districts. Tom Malinowski and Josh Gottheimer are people to keep an eye on. They've Gottheimer has 2 different Republicans seeking to challenge him, so we'll see who wins. It may be a rematch against the person he beat last time. It could be a newcomer, a Marine Corps veteran. Malinowski is going to get a rematch. Andy Kim, another fairly moderate district in South Jersey that was won by a Democrat. But again, 2022 is looking much better for Republicans than 2020 was, or 2018, of course. So there are a number of moderate Democrats in districts that are at least partly new after redistricting that could have a real challenge as we get toward the general election.
What's the flavor of some of these Republican primaries that you're watching? Are you seeing the quote-unquote establishment Republicans doing well in some of these races, or are some of the more populist wing of the GOP doing well?
I think we're at the point where the Trump-aligned portion of the Republican Party really is the establishment now. There are some interesting clashes. You know, if I look to, for example, Young Kim, the Republican looking for a second term in California, in basically a swing district, probably leaning toward Democrats in most years, she's got a challenger running to her right that Democrats hope wins because it would make it easier for the Democrat to unseat that currently Republican-held field. So there are some Republican battles between moderates and more conservative members, but for the most part, you don't see a massive number of Republicans who are what you'd call anti-Trump. That's why Valadao is one of the really interesting people to watch, because he's one of the few who actually voted to impeach him and is in office and still running.
All right, so we'll be keeping an eye on primary day throughout the day. Let's move on to the gun negotiations still ongoing in the Senate. The lead Republican negotiator looks like he's drawing a line here, Jack.
Well, yeah, John Cornyn from Texas has kind of been deputized to be the lead Republican negotiator on this. He's drawn a couple different lines. He's talked quite a bit about how he wants this to focus on people with a criminal history or mental health issues that could justify taking guns away, focus on background checks. There does not seem to be the appetite to, for example, raise the age of purchases to 21, even on semi-automatic weapons, which has there's a bill that the House Democrats are planning to take up that would do that. Doesn't seem to have much of a chance in the Senate because of that. Cornyn has also said that good legislating takes some time, so there's a bit of push back to the idea of getting a deal this week. So both process in terms of the timing and the scope of the bill, Republicans are pushing for some limits. It would be a small bill, and it does not sound like a deal is imminent right now.
And finally, Jack, the House January 6th committee is getting ready for those primetime public hearings. I guess the question now is, how much of a spotlight will these hearings have, given how fractured the electorate is right now?
Yeah, it's interesting that this hearing, the public hearing, is going to be Thursday at 8 o'clock. They really are going for prime time. And there is some concern among Democrats that there's a possibility that they lay out their evidence and show how significant this was on January 6th and show any level of organization that may have occurred. But maybe the public is just not totally focused on that. There's so many other issues. Inflation is dominating people's concerns. A variety of crises. You've got Ukraine and Russia in the news. The baby formula shortage. Congress has been very busy doing a lot of different things, and it's hard to say necessarily that a look back to January 6th would capture everybody's attention, even if there's very compelling issues brought forth.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Jack Fitzpatrick with us from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. You can read much more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. And as a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington by tuning into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Focus for markets this morning is on inflation risk and the risk of central bank tightening, potentially triggering a growth slowdown, if not a recession. We've got S&P futures right now moving lower by 19 points. Dow futures down 139. NASDAQ futures are lower this morning by 80 points. That's a drop of 0.6%. Deeper losses overseas. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. The CAC in Paris down by 0.75%. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32 for a yield of 3.02%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.72%. NYMEX crude is little change, down a penny, $118.49 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. COMEX gold is higher by 0.6%, $10.10 gain at $18.53.80 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.